We're here for another Society 9 podcast today. It's Lynn.
And Megan!
We had a little bit of a lag with you guys. Missed most of February, unfortunately, but that's just because we've been running around like crazy, being in different places multiple times. So luckily, we had a chance to sit down today and talk with one of our brand ambassadors, Allison. She is based in Boston, and we're super excited to have her today.
Hi guys, thanks so much for having me.
We're really, really excited to have you, especially because I just came fresh off of being in Boston and co-leading the Women's Self-Defense Seminar with Edwin and Spencer at Equinox Dartmouth. So thank you for inviting me to do that. That was a blast. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, Society 9 is the brand for the fight in every woman, and we make the best boxing and MMA gear for women by women. So as you all know, we typically like to let our guests spiel about all of the amazing things that they do because whether they like to admit it or not, they're rock stars. So, Allison, no pressure. We'd love for you to share with the audience just what your journey looked like from, you know, what your athletic background was, or maybe you didn't even have one really, and how it transitioned you into getting into boxing serious enough where, you know, you competed in haymakers.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me again. And I'm really excited to share my story with everyone. So just kind of going back to the beginning, I mean, I've been physical my whole entire life. I grew up with an older brother, so I think automatically in that sense, you automatically become a little more physical as a girl. But I really just enjoyed sports. My parents really stuck me into every single sport you can imagine. I played field hockey, ice hockey, tennis. I did lacrosse for a little bit. I did softball for a little bit. So they really, you know, had me broaden my horizons and really figure out what was best suited for me. Growing up, my older brother actually did play ice hockey, so that's one of my first loves and one of the things that I really got involved with. Grew up, you know, ice skating. I grew up in Vermont, so it's fairly common up there to be ice skating and skiing and snowboarding and all that. So grew up playing ice hockey throughout my whole entire life. Played more seriously in high school, field hockey and ice hockey and tennis. And when it came to college, I just didn't really know what I wanted to do as far as, you know, academically, but I knew for sure that I wanted to play a sport in college, just didn't know which one. I got recruited for all three of my sports, which was amazing. Oh, wow. Eventually I decided that I would go to a school. I thought my parents were going to kill me, but I went to a school that I was not recruited at. I also have a rebellious streak too, and that'll probably come in more while I talk about boxing. But I think I wanted to go to a college that, you know, was somewhat close to home for me. So I went to Quinnipiac University in Connecticut and really enjoyed college. It was nice because I didn't get recruited there. It's a Division I program, but I actually walked onto the team. So huge, you know, huge kind of step in the right direction as far as like my college hockey career went. I definitely rode the bench though. It being a D1 program, I didn't expect to get much playing time. But it was amazing to practice with, you know, a lot of amazing college athletes. And it really was like a full-time job. I didn't really realize how much I was getting into, you know, being a part of a sports team and a Division I program at that. You know, you have required study hours, you have community service hours, you have practice time, you have game time, you have the travel time in between. So Quinnipiac is part of the ECAC, so it's mostly all Ivy League schools. So a lot of travel up to like upstate New York and things like that. So it became, you know, I really did want to focus on my academics, and it became a lot. So I decided to quit the team, which was a really rough decision, especially playing a sport your whole entire life. That's really all you know. So I quit and actually decided to study abroad. Went to Australia and loved it, enjoyed every moment of it. And then when I came back, I kind of felt like there was a void. I felt like, you know, I didn't have my hockey team. I didn't, you know, I've always been a part of these team sports. So I started running. Wasn't for me. And then I eventually found my love of boxing. There was actually a boxing class at Quinnipiac. And I'd always been fascinated with it. I'd always been fascinated with the sport. Loved like watching Rocky growing up, and like just like these weird like moments would just pass through my life of boxing now that I'm looking back on it. And I always had this like fascination with it. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take this class. I'm gonna do this as an elective. So I did, loved it, fell in love with it. I actually didn't end up doing anything with it for quite some time until I moved to Boston, and there was a brand new boxing gym that opened down the street. One of my friends told me about it and went in to check it out, and the rest is pretty much history.
What position did you play when you played ice hockey?
I played left wing. I played left wing and I played center. So mostly all forward
positions.
East Coast
people. I know none of this. I have no clue what any of you are talking about.
I was a defenseman because I was way too slow to be.
Oh, you did hockey? I totally forgot about that.
I come from a hockey family. My father like grew up spending his summers in Canada and like blah blah blah, and so when I was growing up, I had an older brother and a younger brother, and that was like the only way to relate to them.
Exactly.
So yeah.
And I feel like that's very common in the East Coast too. Is you know you come from a hockey family. It's not just like one. It's like not one child or one sibling that does it.
No.
It's like the whole family that does it.
Even my cousins.
Yeah. It's actually funny. After like we kind of got through, you know, we were probably like high school age, my parents started playing. So they have like we call it the old geezer league, but they started playing. And a bunch of their friends also started playing that, you know, they grew up watching us play. And it was kind of cool to see like, you know, this different generation kind of take on the sport as well.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Meanwhile, me over here, I can barely like do the, what is it, the roller skates? Like, I can't
I find roller skates harder than
I was just going
to
say that,
fair.
Megan. Yeah, I was just going
to
say
or
that.
Ice
I find,
skating?
Yeah, I find that ice skating is a lot easier than the roller skates.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Roller skates are just not. That's because the CrossFit gym that I coach at has a lot of derby teams training out of it. And the girls are always like, you should come. And I'm like, roller skates, and I just don't. If it were rollerblades, I would be much happier because, you know, Mighty Ducks. No, I'm just kidding. So,
yeah,
that's
totally.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though, that you eventually found your way to boxing. And so what was it like transitioning from taking, like, a class to actually, like, approaching
training
as a sport? Because I know I took fencing as an elective in college, and it was super fun, but after that, I kind of, like, never touched it again.
Right,
so I feel like,
right.
Did you just seek it out after that class?
Yeah, what was the trigger?
Yeah, I mean, it was always kind of in the back of my mind. I always wanted to get back to it. I just never, and I think I struggled a lot, like, trying to find, like, something after college, like, after my sports and everything were through. You know, I went to it, like, your normal like gym and stuff like that, and it just wasn't motivating to me. I needed to be around like-minded people, and I needed to be around people that were competitive, and you know, but at the same time I could have gone the CrossFit route, and I never found myself like near a CrossFit gym or like wanting to be like, oh, I'm gonna try CrossFit. I don't know why. It just like it all of a sudden like really stuck with me that I wanted to do this like I wanted to do boxing. But initially when I did go into the boxing gym, it's not just a boxing gym. They do high intensity interval classes and things like that. So there is a mix of all the different programs, and they really have a science and down to it. It's George Foreman's gym in South Boston. And everybody fights. And they have this great program that really takes you through the initial training of a boxer. They have all these, you know, these classes that form and fit to your boxing training. So, you know, obviously George Foreman III, who's the owner of the gym, he obviously a fighter himself, undefeated in boxing, and his father obviously as well. He has a great knowledge of what it takes to train for a fight. And when he decided to open up the gym, that's kind of what he was going for. He was taking all those different components of boxing training and kind of adding them into this gym, but on a like more competitive level too. So it's been super interesting to kind of see the transition from like when they first started to now. Now they're opening up a second and third location. The second location is actually already open. The third location will be opening in New York City, and they're opening, I believe, another one in LA.
Wow, that's awesome. So when you first started training there, obviously, like you were saying, you were doing more of like the boxing fitness classes and doing the interval circuit training.
The gateway drugs.
The gateway drugs, yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, exactly.
Like how often were you training, and how long were you training before you kind of felt like a switch changed in you where you're like, you know, I really actually like want to try to perfect my jab. I really want my stance to be perfect, you know, like I want my movement on point. Like that's a psychological shift.
It's working out versus training.
Exactly.
Definitely. Definitely.
You know, when did that switch happen for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to get really personal here, but I actually had where else? Better than the Society 9 podcast, right?
Exactly. Air it all out.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually had a bad breakup. And
always starts with that.
Eventually, right? I had a bad breakup, and you know, I kind of lost a piece of myself, and I really wanted to focus on myself. I really wanted to focus on bettering myself. So I had this whole conversation with one of the trainers about bettering myself, and I just really want to like focus on me, and you know, I want to train to fight. And I think it's like any trainer's dream to hear somebody say that. Especially someone that like was as dedicated as me. And, you know, I really bought into the community there, but I also bought into, you know, perfecting those skills and really focusing on the technique portion of boxing. And so the trainer was actually Edwin, who actually also just did our self-defense, teaching training here at Equinox on Dartmouth Street. And, he kind of took that and he was like, I totally know what you mean. He's like, let's just start slow. Let's start with like the basics and kind of go from there. So he originally actually was, training me to fight, kickboxing, cause that's his background. So it was a really interesting transition from doing just kickboxing to regular boxing. I think I definitely found myself, in more ways than one with, you know, making sure that, my skills from the past were kind of coming through as well. I was always known to be like the aggressive player too in ice hockey. Like I was always the little scrappy one that was like going in the corners and digging out the puck. And, that definitely came through in my fighting as well. So, I was always super fearless as a child as well. So I was always like the first to throw a punch, the first to like take a hit and just keep going, and keep ticking. So yeah, it was a really interesting transition, and I just learned like so much, not only about myself, but I feel like Edwin really helped me like kind of connect the dots there as well.
Edwin's awesome. I can definitely attest to how amazing he is as a teacher, instructor, coach. Like he's such a wonderful, positive energy. I highly recommend Ladies of Boston, if you have not found a great place or a great person to start learning from, ask Allison about Edwin, because he's the most positive, one of the most positive individuals I think I've ever met in my life. But he's also frighteningly good at a lot of different martial arts. he can definitely teach you how to turn your body into a weapon. So
yeah, that's for sure.
He's awesome. So As you were learning from Edwin, you know, at what point did you feel like you were ready to take on your first fight? Because, you know, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast that your first fight was technically the amateur boxing match with Haymakers for Hope. It was Bells of the Brawl, right, that you fought
it
in?
Was, yeah. It was the all-female, like 2 years ago. All-female version, so.
Yeah, yeah. How did your training go, and how did it lead to that opportunity, or did the opportunity just kind of present itself, and you were like, yep.
Okay. Ready, let's do this.
Yeah, let's ready.
Yeah. So I had another one of my coaches come up to me, and his name's Marty, and he came up to me during a bags class, and he was like, man, you're looking really good. I see you working with Edwin, and I see you like putting in all this work. He's like, you know, do you have a fight set up yet? And I was like, well, no, we haven't really discussed it. Like, I would love to, like, that's my initial goal, is to definitely fight. We just don't have anything, you know, set up. And he was like, well, have you ever heard of Haymakers for Hope? And I had heard about it because a few of the guys in the gym had done it. But it wasn't really popular yet for like the female population there. So he was telling me about it, and he was telling me all about it. And, actually one of our trainers, is no longer at Everybody Fights. Her name's Karen Conley. She was actually kind of like my mentor as well. She really, you know, told me all about the Haymakers experience. I think she actually was in like the first Haymakers. She was telling me all about it. She's like, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. It's like such an amazing experience. So, I had a little hesitation, just because it is definitely on a larger scale than I thought my first fight would be. It's like, I know Lynn's been to the venue. Megan, we gotta get you there this year, but.
Someday.
Yeah. But it's like this huge concert hall, arena type kind of feel. It's at the House of Blues in Boston, and it's killer. I mean, it's really such a great event. It really opens your eyes to like how large the boxing community is too. It's like over 1,000 people in attendance. So a little nerve wracking, not gonna lie. It was really such a great experience, and I can't thank the founders of Haymakers enough, Julie and Andrew. Are really just wonderful as well. And I know you've had Julie on the podcast as well.
Yeah, she's a rock star. What was that training camp like for you?
Oh man. So I actually had I actually worked for Equinox on Dartmouth Street now. But previously I had a very corporate job. I actually was training 2 times a day, almost every single day. And it was like nonstop. I was doing like more intense stuff, I felt like, in the morning time, and then at night I would usually get like either my road work in, or I'd actually combine Pilates as well. I actually still do that during my training process. So I feel like, it was a good balance of things, but the 4-month process, and I know you've had one of the Haymakers girls on here too, and she went into more depth about it, but it's definitely, you really don't know what you're getting yourself into until you're like maybe a month in, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I still have like three more months of this. So, it's definitely an interesting, time, but you learn so much about yourself. You really push the limits. And I think that was one of the things that I had consistently going into training every single day, even though I was tired, even though I was hungry consistently, because I actually had to lose a little more weight. I had this like confidence and this kind of like spark about me that I was just like, I don't care who is getting in the ring with me at this point. I was like, I'm going to like blow them away. And I just like really wanted to just, you know, go all the way in. And, you know, I guess that's really all you can ask for your first fight. Everything that you kind of learn goes out the window. Like your adrenaline just spikes and you just like react. Like all your technique and everything that you learn just goes away, but it's a really exciting, amazing adrenaline rush. And I think that's something that I always loved about ice hockey as well. It's that same kind of rush. But with boxing, it's more individual. It's definitely more, you know, you're focusing on not only yourself, but the person that you're fighting. And it's definitely a chess match or you know, a kind of a, almost like a video game.
I believe that aggression that you felt during your fight camp is called being hangry, Allison.
Yeah, totally.
You just look across the ring at the girl and you're like, you're the reason I haven't eaten a solid meal in a week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And unfortunately for me, my opponent had lost a lot more weight than she had expected, so I had to kind of match. And so, yeah, it was pretty brutal, but you know, again, hats off to the Haymakers organization. They really make sure that it's like a fair fight. You know, it is for charity and they really want to make sure that everyone just has a great experience. So it was wonderful. I mean, I think that's why I'm having such a hard time finding my second fight. It's because I had such a great first experience.
It's definitely, it's hard, I think, to find the right fit when you are looking for matchups, especially as women, because it's just, there aren't as many of us.
Right.
So, I mean, I know, like, when people ask me what weight I'm going to fight at, it's like, well, I will fight anywhere from A to B because I'm not going to say no to somebody just because they're 10 pounds heavier than me or 10 pounds lighter than me. Like, I'll figure it out.
Right, exactly.
Because that's what I have to do. It's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah. But,
and they also, there are a lot of cards that just don't offer opportunities to women. So
right, exactly. Yeah. And Megan, do you find that... you know, your coaches are very supportive of, you know, your weight loss and all that kind of stuff too. Cause I find like guys, they can like, you know, they're so much easier weight loss, for men than it is for women. And it was funny. It was like the last 5 pounds that I had to lose. It was like literally pulling teeth. I was like, I don't even know like how else to lose this weight.
Yeah. Well, my first fight camp was easy, not easy, but it was not as hard. But my second fight camp was really brutal. It was a really stressful, the week I accepted the fight, my dog almost died. So then we were basically for the entirety of my fight camp, we were on death watch for my dog and she's fine now, the butthead.
Thank goodness.
And then like 2 weeks into my fight camp, I like destroyed my right hand. Like there's a picture on my Instagram and I have to have broken something or I did something to it. And I probably should have pulled out of the fight, but it was kind of one of those things where it's like, man, I don't know when I'm going to have another opportunity to fight. Like, you know, I'm just going to give it this month and a half and hope it heals. So I couldn't train the way I normally train leading up to that fight. So that fight was really hard to cut weight for, and it was like, it was brutal. I was literally like eating smoothies for every meal, and I think I had like 4 ounces of salmon at lunchtime, and that was like the best 4 ounces of chewing that I ever had. But it's funny because I think male coaches don't really fully grasp how much harder it is for women. They know it's harder, but they don't know why. But I'm really lucky that I have a few female teammates, and one of the gyms I train at is owned by a female fighter. So
that's
I can always like talk to them. So like when I was having trouble cutting weight for my last fight, I called in the troops and like, you know, this is what I'm eating. What can I fix? Because I am not losing weight and I'm dying.
Yeah. I mean, and that was, I think another thing that was really nice about the Haymakers program is that you had, it wasn't just you that was fighting. You have, for when I fought, I had 4 other girls that I could depend on.
Right.
So, you know, and they were like my sparring partner. They were like my cheat meal partner, like everything. So it was definitely like, I'm still very close with all 4 of those girls. And we actually met up the other night and we're talking about, you know, how everything's kind of changed in like the full couple years that we've been apart from one another. But, it's really just a great, great vibe and great feel from, you know, that you, it is an individual process, but you do have like such a complete team at the end. Like no matter if it's your coaches, you know, the people that you're fighting with, your sparring partners. So yeah, it is an individual sport, but at the end of the day, it really is, you know, you're only as good as your team.
100%.
Yeah. So I can't say enough good things about, you know, my team and everyone that I rely on.
Have any of those other girls been able to compete since Haymakers?
Actually, no. I think we're all kind of running, we call it the Haymakers curse, or blessing and curse, because it really is just extremely tough to, you know, after you go through the Haymakers process, it really is tough to find something that even remotely compares to it.
Yeah.
And you know, it is a blessing, but it's also it is a curse as well. I think, you know, a lot of the girls still train, which is great. So it's wonderful to see everyone still training and still, you know, competing with the boxing, but not competing on like a sparring level.
Sure.
Everyone's still as competitive, if not probably more competitive.
Because
everyone wants to show each other up, especially, you know, we don't want to be called washed up, so.
You're not just training and looking for your next fight, but I know you've been working really hard to build and facilitate more women getting into the sport, whether they want to go crazy and enter Haymakers themselves or compete in any sort of capacity, but tell us a little bit about the work you've been trying to do with Equinox, especially the Equinox Boston community, because there's 4 locations in Boston. And what you're doing, not just for self-defense, but boxing too, and the initiatives that you're trying to push for.
So kind of to backtrack, going from my corporate job into what I do now. So after the Haymakers process, I really wanted to see myself more in like sports and fitness world. And I always saw myself here. I just didn't know how to get there officially. So I took the jump. I actually left my corporate job and transitioned over to working for Equinox. Funnily enough, Equinox is right down the street from my previous job. So, really just, it was a pretty seamless transition. I'm in the sales world now, so I sell memberships and, do multiple events, but, my kind of passion project since I started here, about a year ago, was to really build our boxing community here. We have a boxing facility in our club, you know, there's only 10 bags, but it allows for a lot more one-on-one instruction with, you know, the personal trainer that's teaching the class or the group fitness instructor, which is wonderful. And I've had, you know, so many times since I first started here, I went in and introduced myself to the boxing classes and let them know that I'm an amateur boxer. I'm kind of here if you have any questions, if you need anything. My office is right around the corner. So it's been great, just kind of introducing myself to all the new faces that, consistently come in. But it's also great to harbor and kind of foster these relationships as well. Especially with the females. I feel like more and more times, you know, I actually sign females up that are interested in boxing or, you know, want to take more boxing classes or want to learn self-defense. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. And I kind of let them know what my experience is. And, you know, let them know that I'm here for them if they, you know, if they want me to hold mitts for them, if they want me to, you know, take a look at their jab or anything like that, that, you know, Don't be shy. Come into my office whenever, and I'm more than happy to help you out in any way that I can. And it's been great. It's been really, really fulfilling since I've been here. I think Lynn can definitely attest to the event that we had on March 11th, but it was weird because March 11th, the year before, I actually did my first ever boxing event. It was not all female, but it was half and half, female and male. And we've just gotten such amazing feedback from all the events that we've done with boxing, that and especially with even self-defense and things like that, it's been incredible. And I'm really excited to see like how much this does really grow here at this location.
Yeah, you guys have really multifaceted instructors too at your location. Like I was really surprised at how many of the instructors there have a pretty substantial background, not only in training, but competing too. So that's really unique. And I, for anybody who lives in Boston and is either looking to try out a multi-use space or want to check out, you know, Allison's community that she's built there, or talk to any of the instructors, you should go check out their location on Dartmouth Street. It's really awesome. Hopefully some of that feedback for that self-defense seminar was positive.
Oh my God.
You're saying there's feedback. I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. A few of the girls, one of the girls actually lives on the North Shore, which is just north of Boston. So she was like, oh, I was wondering like if you can tell me a little bit about like, you know, these like self-defense, you know, areas and stuff like that. And she's wanting to continue her like self-defense knowledge, which is wonderful. Like that's exactly the person that we want to come out of, you know, one of our events here or one of our self-defense seminars. And she was just, you know, you spark that kind of excitement. And I kind of, you know, look back on my own spark of excitement towards boxing. And I relate that to like so many females that you kind of just see like the light go off. And I know you guys have talked about that before, but that's definitely like, I feel like what happens a lot of times, you know, when we do these boxing classes or self-defense seminars.
Yeah. I was really, touched by some of the women who came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I never thought of some of these things, especially when we were doing the verbal and body language components, or
yeah,
when we were just talking about like the full picture, you know, how knowing how to punch is also not enough. It's about how you carry yourself in your day-to-day life, and how that comes in handy when it comes down to a really potentially dangerous or threatening situation. And I had some of the women come up to me afterwards and say, like, I never thought of piecing it all together that way, because in their minds it was, heaven forbid any of these things ever happen to me, like, I'll just do my best. But it's like, no, I mean, that's one part of it, but it's about a 24/7 mentality, spirituality, lifestyle, like how you view yourself, you know? So either way, yeah, if you guys ever want to host another one, or if some of the women would be down for like a seminar two or something. I mean, yeah. I had a great time. There was like 40 or 50 women. It was an amazing turnout.
Yeah, it really was. It was incredible. And I always find that when people come into my office or there's, you know, a female that's interested in boxing, for Equinox, we have two different parties every single year. We have a vernal party in the spring, and then we have an autumnal party in the fall. And so we just had our vernal party on Tuesday, and I got to talking with some girls that were talking about, you know, they weren't members yet, but they were talking about boxing, and they go to Title Boxing here in Boston. And we were talking about, we actually got to talking about Society 9, of course. It was a really cool kind of moment, because they were like, oh my gosh, they were like, this is amazing. This is like, we didn't even know that this was around. This is incredible. So, you know, I feel like the Boston community too is just so much more open, and like really, like they want that type of knowledge, that, you know, a female boxing community can provide too.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to what you're saying about that spark that you get in women when you, you know, host these kind of seminars and stuff like that, I think a lot of that comes from meeting women like you and seeing representation. You know, I talk a lot to our brand ambassadors about how a lot of the space for combat sports is owned by men. And
yeah,
it's not bad or anything like that. You know, I'm not trying to say that, but it just means that unfortunately there isn't the representation that women who, you know, are interested in it. See, I don't know how many women I have had say to me something like, you know, I've always been interested in it, but I just never really thought it was for me.
Or, right.
you know, so I can only imagine how comforting it is when someone comes into Equinox and they say, oh, I'm interested in boxing. And then they find out that you're there and they have a woman to talk to.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times I do get that comment though, that like, oh man, how do you get hit in the face? Or like, oh, don't mess up your pretty face, or don't mess up your nose. And I'm like, oh, like that sometimes is a little frustrating to me. I'm like, well, that's why we learn defensive techniques.
Yeah. Well, and they never say that, you know, they're not going to say that to a guy.
No, exactly. Exactly.
No one's ever said that to my husband. Don't mess up your face.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, yeah, people, my personal new favorite thing that I have learned per that is if you really want a guy to give you unsolicited advice, roll your wraps up while you're riding the bus to training.
Yes.
I did that the other day and I had this guy like seek me out to tell me to keep my hands up.
Yeah.
And to protect my face. And I was like, yes, thank you. Thank you. And I was like, oh, so you've competed. And he was like, nah, I just, you know, I go to a gym and they have a punching bag. And so that was it. And I was like, great, awesome.
Thanks for your advice.
I'll be sure to keep my hands up.
And
protect my beautiful face.
Right.
I keep saying, I'm kind of hoping to get punched in the nose because I have a pointy nose. So maybe it'll flatten it out a little.
I know. Well, you know, it's funny. When people say that to me, I usually say, well, I've gotten hit in the face with a field hockey stick. So I don't think somebody's punch is going to do much.
That is fair. Those are brutal.
Yeah. I have some war stories, that's for sure, from my time in field hockey. I think that's more a dangerous sport than boxing, to be honest. I got absolutely clocked in the face with somebody's stick, and they thought I broke my occipital bone. They thought I broke my nose. I'm a blonde, and when they thought I came into the hospital, they actually thought I was a redhead because I had so much blood in my hair.
Perfect. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was going to say field hockey and lacrosse are like just brutal. People have no idea. So actually Dion, my husband, played field hockey growing up.
Oh,
in New Zealand, men play field hockey.
Yes, exactly. I had a couple male coaches when I went away to like summer camps and things like that.
Yeah.
And they are amazing. Like incredible athletes. Like it's unbelievable.
It's definitely different. So, but yeah, no, I think I've gotten hurt playing every sport I've ever played. I've gotten hurt more than I have doing kickboxing and boxing.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say that's been like my experience too. Like I think people are always really surprised at the level of injury. I mean, obviously at the elite level, like the rate of concussions and all that stuff, that's like a whole other story. Like I won't necessarily attest to that, but if you're just like training technique or everyday practicing it, like it's actually not as dangerous as people make it seem. It's the whole respect level that is established with your coaches, your training partners.
I'll take anyone with gloves over a stick any day.
Yeah.
Anybody that has a stick, that's usually definite trouble on the horizon for that.
So no weapons training for you?
Yeah, no weapons training. No weapons training for me.
I was going to say, if you ever do decide you want to try weapons training, I know one of our other brand ambassadors, Erin Smith, who's in Boston. She can help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, she's from my boyfriend's hometown. So
we've been
in touch a couple times. And she wants to come in. She's like, I'm going to take the commuter line in and just and come in and train with you. And I was like, anytime. Awesome. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched a few of her videos and it's truly something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, her like weapon stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So. I can do some weapons defense with a field hockey or an ice hockey stick, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out and talking to our community, but also kudos to you for all the great work that you're doing in your own personal local community. Do you have any events or anything that we should be aware of that you want to shout out to so that we can make sure that people in Boston know about it?
No, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram for all my adventures throughout the Northeast. my Instagram is Running with the AK-47, which is AK-47 is my boxer name. So
there you go. Awesome. Yeah. She's tagged in also some of our photos too, so if you guys have trouble finding her, you'll see her poking around in our tags somewhere.
That's right.
But yeah, thank you so much, Allison.
Of course.
Join you guys all for our next podcast.